The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. Whether you're listening to this at the same time I'm speaking, or if it's sometime later, a really warm welcome. So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit more about the five faculties. I talked about this some last week. I shared a little bit my delight in the five faculties. And last week I spoke a little bit about how there's a sutta passage that talks about how cultivating, developing the five faculties helps a person slant, slope, and incline towards nibbana. Like sends them on the way, you know, like just one way towards nibbana. And last week I also talked about how of all the five faculties, faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom, and I'll say a little bit about those in just a moment, but out of all five of those, there's another sutta passage that says that wisdom is the chief. That is, it's the one in which that leads to awakening. And so one way we can consider cultivating the five faculties is to cultivate faith, energy, mindfulness, and concentration in such a way that they help develop or cultivate wisdom, so that these other faculties, the other four, help develop the fifth. So tonight I'd like to talk about some other ways to cultivate the faculties. Seems like it's a worthwhile endeavor if it's going to lead towards nibbana. So what does this mean to develop and to cultivate? And what are some different approaches, or what are some different ways that we might think about this? So I'm just going to unpack just a little bit what each of these faculties are. Many of you will be familiar with these. There's plenty of Dharma talks about all of them. And Gil did a lovely series, for those of you who don't know, on the 7 a.m. series, where he did five talks on each faculty, so 25 total talks. For those of you who are listening now and later, I believe these started at the end of March 2020, so right as the pandemic was starting. So maybe it was mid-March, or the third week of March, just right at the beginning when we were in lockdown. It's a beautiful thing that he did. So I can point you that direction for some richness about what each of these faculties are. But for now, I'll just provide a few words about each one and then talk a little bit more about what does it mean to develop and cultivate these. So, as many of you know, that when we encounter lists, some of these Buddhist lists, I'm fond of the lists. I know not everybody is, of course, but I'm fond of them, that they're given in a particular order. It's not like they're scrambled up, or, you know, that there's five of these things and we just say them in any order that comes to mind. But with these lists, there's, you know, one, two, three, four, and five. So five faculties begin with faith, which we might understand that faith is faith that finding less dukkha, less suffering, stress, and more freedom is possible. And not only that, it's possible for us, that we have the capacity for this, and that this is a practice that can help finding more freedom, more peace, more ease, all the way to awakening. So less and less and less dukkha, all the way to the end of dukkha. And so we have faith because we don't have this direct experience ourselves. We're not completely awakened ourselves. We still have some dukkha. But it seems reasonable to us. It seems it makes a certain amount of sense to us, so we're willing to begin. We're willing to begin the practice, to take on some of these practices of meditation or ethics or listen to some of the teachings. So that's faith. And with energy, there's a way in which we put forth our efforts, and the way that it gets described in this context, and that is to put forth our efforts towards those noticing which mental states, thoughts, actions, behaviors lead to more suffering and which lead to less. And then to put our energy towards those that are wholesome, are skillful, are helpful for having more freedom, having less dukkha. So it's one thing to believe that it's possible, then of course it requires a little bit of energy to do something about it, to test the faith, for example, one way to think about it. And it also takes some effort to choose that we're going to do what's wholesome or skillful and not take up what's unwholesome and unskillful. So that's the second element, energy. Also, effort. Sometimes these get used back and forth or synonymously. Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. Mindfulness is the third one. It's a simple capacity to track what is happening in the present without resistance, without conflict, without too much like pushing or pulling, you know, pushing things away or pulling them closer, clinging, grabbing onto them. So this simple capacity to notice what is happening right now. The fourth is concentration, where our attention becomes more stable, where the forces of distraction become less powerful, and the mind is less fragmented, and there's a certain amount of collectedness or a certain amount of composure or unification or certain amount of focus. And then the fifth one is wisdom. It's a faculty we all have, and we can think of wisdom as the capacity to have some discernment or some ability to distinguish between that is what is helpful and what isn't helpful, but in such a way that we're willing to not do things that are pleasant, knowing that they're not really skillful in the long term. So this kind of like an expression of wisdom is to know that, yes, I might love chocolate chip cookies, but I'm not going to eat this whole batch of them. This may be a silly example, but it's a certain amount of wisdom to recognize, to distinguish to see the big picture, what's for our benefit, and to be able to act in a way that supports the big picture. So it's a certain type of seeing and understanding, but that doesn't rely on book learning or study or something like that. So one way to develop these or to cultivate these five faculties, like if we're to follow or believe or even test out, experiment about the sutta that says that to cultivate these leads to awakening. What does that mean, to cultivate them? And maybe it's here's a hint. It's from another sutta passage that says, when a person is grounded in one thing, the five faculties become developed, well developed. And what is that one thing? Heedfulness. Appamada. In Pali, the language that the ancient teachings are preserved in. And then the sutta goes on, what is heedfulness? It's when a person looks after their mind. And when it comes to defilements and things that stimulate defilements. So It's taking care, but also noticing. Appamada sometimes also gets translated as diligence or a vigilance or even conscientiousness. So it's the way that we are paying attention, that which is fills up the mind or creates the conditions in which there can be a lot of clinging, in which there can be a lot of just turning away and trying to ignore, or a lot of pushing away. And to notice when we're filling our mind in these ways, or when we find that our behavior is motivated by this, maybe we don't even notice it in our minds, but we notice that the way that we're acting or the things that we're saying are coming from these places of greed, hatred, and delusion. Appamada is a way that not only are we paying attention, but we keep coming back. This type of like diligence of not only noticing once and like check, okay, I noticed that there was some greed there. And not ending there, of course not, right? That's a little bit silly. But to keep on looking or being aware of tuning into what is the quality of the mind? What is happening in the mind at this moment? And then in this moment. And in the same way, in the just the same way, we keep coming back to the breath, if that's our object of meditation. We find ourselves completely lost in thought, maybe lost in fantasies about chocolate chip cookies. Maybe I should have had dinner before I sat down to give this talk. I have cookies on my mind. But it's the way that we keep on coming back, not while we're meditating to the object of meditation, but the way that also we just come back to the cushion as best we can, just to the meditation practice, or maybe we're working with ethical practices, kind of some of the restraints to commit again and again and again. So it's not that we have to be perfect. It's not that we have to get it on the first try or something like this. I appreciate this very much. This appamada is this recognition, like, no, we just apply ourselves in some kind of way. And of course, it's not perfect, so we apply ourselves again and again. In some way, we could say it's kind of like faith, in the sense that without faith, we wouldn't come back to meditation cushion, or we wouldn't come back to the breath, for example, during meditation. There has to be some type of understanding. There has to be some belief. Maybe we don't know this completely yet, but it seems reasonable that it would be helpful, that it's beneficial, that it's skillful to keep on coming back. So in some ways, appamada, diligence, heedfulness, vigilance, has a flavor of faith as part of it. But it also might have a flavor of wisdom in it, because it requires some wisdom to recognize, well, is this a skillful thing to be doing? Do I have defilements in my mind? Should I continue doing this? So in this way, appamada is one of these attributes or activities or maybe even qualities that allows the five faculties to be developed. But we can imagine that it allows everything to be developed. Everything that's worthwhile doing requires practice. Maybe that's one way we could think about appamada as well, as practice, just again and again. Musicians practice, athletes practice, meditators practice. And in fact, there's another sutta passage that says, just as the light of the constellations does not equal 1/16th of the light of the moon, just saying that stars don't have as much light as the moon. Of course, they're a fraction of the size if you're here on the Earth. And this idea of 1/16 is, I think in Pali, that just kind of means really small. We see when things are compared, often one thing's a lot smaller than another. It's just called 1/16. Just as all the light of the constellations, all the light of the stars, does not equal 1/16 of the light of the moon, and the light of the moon is reckoned their chief, because the light is the most, then it's the chief. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in heedfulness, apamada. Light gathered in heedfulness, and heedfulness is reckoned their chief. So not only the five faculties, but all skillful qualities are developed and cultivated with heedfulness. Maybe that's not surprising. But there's a way in which we can consider the five faculties as a group that can support our cultivating them. So if we're going to apply some heedfulness, is there a direction, is there a way that we can consider this cultivation? And for this, I'd like to bring in a poem by Rosemary Traumer. It's called Finding Faith. And it goes like this. While pulling the beets, it's impossible to lose faith in the world. Those tiny seeds that once fit in the palm are now large red globes, dense with dark sweetness and heavy in the hand. They are like promises kept, like small proofs in patience, confirmations that sometimes the good that's growing can't be seen. They are like hard truths. Not everyone will want them, but some will. Some will. This idea of beets, you know, these bulbous red plants, not everybody likes them. But they start as little seeds that are just lightweight and small in the hand, maybe weigh next to nothing. And then they really grow into something that has some heft to them that can be felt into the hand. And they are like hard truths. Not everyone will want them, but some will. Some will. We might consider this poem as kind of a representation of faith growing into wisdom. There's a lot of faith to just put seeds in. Doesn't look like a beet, but I'm going to create the conditions, and then this seed flowers and blossoms into wisdom. The seed becomes a beet. And this is one way we can consider the five faculties, that it starts with faith, the ideas, belief, things seem reasonable. This practice will bring benefits. These teachings are true. Seems like it's worthwhile endeavor to explore, but we don't have the experience yet. And we can consider that cultivating the faculties is a practice of gaining the experience, in which faith can become some verified faith, which then can become some wisdom, things that we actually know and understand, we know in our bones in some kind of way. We know without, not just intellectually understanding, but with some, maybe with more like all aspects of ourselves, with an embodied wisdom. And I appreciate very much here that Rosemary Traumer is saying, wisdom, they are like hard truths. Not everybody will want them, but some will. Some will. As I was saying earlier, wisdom sometimes is a hard truth. Sometimes it's recognizing that, yes, what I like to do, this is pleasant, or but we recognize that, oh, it doesn't really make sense in the bigger picture of our life to be holding on to this idea of myself, for example. As a person who has lots of energy and can exercise and yet still have time or energy and time at the end of the day to do all these other things, where yet to recognize, oh, you know, I'm aging, I don't have the same amount of energy that I did. But maybe the hard truth is to kind of let go of this idea about ourselves that we have. Or maybe a hard truth is to recognize that sometimes we think things in subtle ways and in obvious ways are going to be stable and always be there for us. And we learn that things, of course, are impermanent and inconstant. And there's so many different things that we might be thinking or have some stability or have some permanence to them. And turn out that we discover more and more that things don't. And of course, we can notice that things often have some unsatisfactoriness to them, that they're not quite completely satisfying. But it's one thing to like hear this, but it's another thing to really have this experience. Well, I went and had this particular achievement. I achieved this goal. And yet I still feel like it wasn't, I'm not as satisfied as I wanted it. The satisfaction lasted for a short amount of time. Maybe I gained a position in my professional life. Maybe I finished an educational goal. Maybe I got a relationship that I really wanted, or a family that I really wanted. Or these are all beautiful and meaningful and can be an important part of our lives, but we might not notice how much we were kind of assuming that they would quench or satisfy in some kind of way, and then to discover the hard truth that actually there's a certain amount of dissatisfaction, certain amount of way in which they don't provide what we were thinking or hoping or believing they would provide. And then, of course, there's the hard truth of our ideas and concepts being just that, ideas and concepts. That is, ideas about ourselves, ideas about how things should be and how we want them to be, turn out to just be thoughts, you know, ephemeral and not substantial. And there's lots of repercussions of this. They don't have the substantiality and stability, perhaps, that we were hoping or believing that they do. So these beats in Rosemary Traumer's poem that come from seeds that are like faith, that come into some hard truths that not everyone will want them, but some will. Some will. So we might ask inquire a little bit deeper. Well, if we consider that the five faculties, one way to cultivate them is to move through them in a linear way. I'd like to emphasize this is just one way. This is part of why I appreciate the five faculties so much, is there are a number of different ways we can practice with them, cultivate them. And one way is to consider moving through going from number one to number five, going from faith to wisdom. And you'll notice that the three in the middle, energy, mindfulness, and concentration, we can consider that these have an alignment with the three practices or factors in the Eightfold Path. Effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So I'm equating energy and effort here, and there's plenty of definitions in the suttas that make this equation. So many of you will know that the Eightfold Path, or even the whole Buddhist path of practice, can be summarized as three buckets or three categories of practices: sila, samadhi, panya. That is, practicing with our ethical behavior, how we are in the world, how we show up in the world with others, our relationships with others. Samadhi could be mental development. And then panya is wisdom. So we could consider that mental development, this second category, bucket of practices or portion of the path, is a way in which we can transform faith into wisdom. That is, to apply some energy, some effort, to a mindfulness practice and a concentration practice. So some mindfulness to be present for what's actually happening in our lives, and to allow some concentration, some settling of the mind, so that we can see in deeper and deeper levels, so that we can see more and more subtle ways about the ways in which some of the teachings might be true, in ways that there might be less and less dukkha, and in ways there might be more and more freedom, might be more and more ease, so that we can understand and see and work with the really obvious ones and the really subtle ones. And to see the subtle ones requires a quiet mind. And then the effort, the energy to move in the direction towards greater peace, freedom, helpfulness, skillfulness. And when we find ourselves lost in the unhelpful, unbeneficial, unskillful, as best we can to put them down. And in this way, things that we had faith in, that we believed were true, we'll start having more and more experiences for ourselves. And we don't have to believe that they're true. We can know that they're true, and know in a way from our experience, rather than just an intellectual or a book learning, but to actually have a embodied understanding. So we can transform faith into wisdom and know for ourselves the freedom that's possible for all of us with some heedfulness, some appamada, diligence, vigilance, to cultivating those skillful qualities that lead to greater and greater freedom. Thank you.